Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. You're listening to session 2 of the Selling the Couch podcast. Whoa, we're at session 2 already? Where did the time go?
Welcome to the Selling the Couch podcast, where our goal is to help you achieve your counseling private practice dreams. And now, the man who does all of his podcasts standing up, psychologist and podcaster Melvin Varghese.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Selling the Couch podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join me. Today, I have a really awesome guest. Her name is Camille McDaniel. Camille is a licensed professional counselor. She's also the founder and director of Healing Psychotherapy Practices of Georgia. She's an adjunct professor, and she also works at the business side of therapy. So she helps new private practitioners build their private practices. And so her website for that is at thecounselingentrepreneur.com. And her website is where you can both access her therapy website as well as her private practice website is at CamilleMcDaniel.com. And I'll link to that here in the show notes. I think you're really going to like this interview. I reached out to Camille because she just seemed to be very active on a lot of social media channels that I'm active in. And then I explored her website a bit, and it just seemed like she was just doing some really neat things. So she, as you'll learn in this interview, she just started her private practice about 4 years ago, and she's already branched out and has 2 part-time clinicians that are working with her. And she's just done some really neat things both on her website and, for example, she's put some video up where she introduces herself. So we spent some time talking about that and the impact of that. We also talk about her decision to jump into private practice, what that was like, and some of the hurdles that she overcame and some of the things that have been the most rewarding for her. And then we also talk about one of the things that she offers is a kind of a faith-based perspective or a Christian-based perspective on counseling. That's not the only thing she does, but she has that. And we talk about how disclosing that on the website, how that's impacted actually referrals. And I think the answers that you'll get to that is going to surprise you. So without much more delay, I would like to introduce you to Camille McDaniel, who you can find at CamilleMcDaniel.com. Camille, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Camille is a licensed clinical social worker. Camille, tell us a little bit about you and about your private practice.
Okay, sure. Well, first I want to say thank you for inviting me on this podcast. And my private practice is located in Kennesaw, Georgia, so that's where I am, and I provide counseling services for children as young as 8 years old up until adults, and I focus mostly on mood disorders, grief and loss, as well as some anxiety and self-harming behaviors in my practice, and I have a part-time therapists, a matter of fact, two part-time therapists, and they each have their own passion and specialization. One of them is very passionate about working with families and couples, and the other one is very passionate about working with adolescents and different struggles that come with being an adolescent.
Oh, that's awesome. I love how, so really you span the whole lifespan, and then you've also managed to branch out on your private practice and have a couple of folks that are helping you.
Yes. Yeah.
Camille, one of the things that I love to do when I have other therapists that come on the podcast is just for them to start out with a quote or a mantra that's inspired them on their private practice journey. And then also how someone that's just starting out in private practice, how they could use that in their own lives.
Okay, great. I can definitely, and I would love to share that because this one has come up the entire private practice journey and even beyond to branching out to doing other things to help other practitioners in their practices. So
that's how you know it's good, right?
That's exactly right. So I think this is a scripture, and it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. To those who seek they find. And to the one who knocks the door will be open." That one really has stuck with me, and I know that it stuck with me because I often find myself sharing it with other people as I explain that this tells you that you have to keep going. Mm. You have to act. There has to be action. You cannot really just sit by and wait for it to drop in your lap, but you have to go and ask questions. You have to ask for support. You have to seek out those resources, seek out the things that you want to meet your goals. You know, you have to keep on going, not literally knocking on doors if you have to, or, you know, knocking in the way of keep on pushing. And I really like it because it doesn't ever say, and if you find that this didn't work, it continues to go on and tells you if you do these things. And that's not to say that, because it doesn't tell you, oh, you have to do it three times and you'll find it. No, it just tells you to just do, just act, just keep on going, just keep asking, keep looking, keep on knocking. And if you do these things, then you will find the things that you are looking for, that you are seeking in your business, in your life. It will come. The thing that I want to add to that is that you just have to be patient and don't lose hope.
Yeah, and as you were saying that, like, I was just thinking it has to be a very active process, right? Like, I think, you know, now it's definitely changed. But if you look past, you know, a couple of decades ago, this idea of starting a private practice, right? You literally hang your shingle up and everyone will come, right? And that's changed.
Right.
And I like that quote because I think it's just a great reminder that it's something that has to be intentional and focused and a daily thing. And the other thing is that there's going to be times when that door won't be open, right? But it doesn't mean that you stop.
Exactly. It does not mean that you stop. Right. Surely I probably would have stopped a long time ago if that was the case, because I have had doors not open and questions not answered from people I wanted to answer them. But that was okay, because as I kept on going, other people, sometimes in some cases, even stronger resources presented themselves and helped and answered questions, supported and opened doors for me. So it has really been great, but I would have never known that if I had given up.
I was just thinking how, you know, like in that moment, right, when we feel like we've put all this time and effort and you know, for you, like trying to reach someone out to someone, when that door didn't open, how did you find the energy inside of you to keep going?
You know, I had to just first realize that I'm human and it's okay to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for things to not necessarily work out the way we had planned, because sometimes the plan that I had in my mind for how it should work out actually wasn't the best plan after all. And when I allowed myself to just recognize that disappointment is just a part of the journey, it's okay. It doesn't have to be a showstopper. Keep on going. And then in many cases found something that worked out better, or I used that to propel me to find a way to work around it, under it, through it. And in that process ended up sometimes creating things that were even better than my original plan.
Yeah, that's really neat. Offhand, what would be an example that you could think of, like of something more specific that's actually happened where you were almost able to take something that didn't work out and then kind of pivot and it ended up working out in a way that you didn't expect?
Okay, I have a perfect example for this. So in my practice, one of the things I also like to do is to help mentor students. That's just because one of the things that I've done was like lead internships for students in the master's program. And I said, okay, I have all of this information in my head and I want to put it into, you know, book format, a booklet, if you will, so that students could kind of get an edge on this whole process of finding a career and getting licensed and doing what they need to do to move ahead. So I'm going to create this book, put it out there, and this is going to be wonderful. And it did not pick up steam at all. And so I thought, but I have all this information and this was such a great idea. And although people really appreciated the information I was giving them through email or by phone or even online, they were not picking up the book. And so what I did was, yes, I sat with that disappointment because it did not work out the way I had envisioned. But then it kind of goes back to, I decided, okay, how do I get around this, over this, under this, through this? And I decided to create a component that included the book. So I actually took the idea and made it into a mentoring program, an online mentoring program. Oh, wow. And so that actually first started in 2014, and I ran the program a couple of times. It was a 3-month program at first, and then it turned into a 4-month program. And then this year, there were actually 2 other mentors that joined me in the online program. And in 2014, one of the things that I made as entry into the mentoring program was for people to get the book. So that was a way to turn what I originally thought was going to be, you know, this great success. And then it wasn't ending up the way I wanted it to be, but I kept pushing to see how else can I get this moving. And it actually caused me to create an online program that helps people to get still the step up that I wanted them to get as they're trying to proceed in this field.
Yeah, no, that's such an amazing example. It makes me think, right? Like you put in all this time into this book, right? And then at that moment, it doesn't work out. I think the natural human tendency is like, why did this not work out? Right. You know, forget this, right?
Exactly.
But you pivoted and you thought outside the box. And for me, and I think this is true for you, like I feel like so much of what I have learned, I've learned the most when something does not work out the way that I envisioned.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is definitely. No, and I'll tell you, that is actually not the way I like to learn.
Oh, I don't know if any of us like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But
no, I completely hear you.
But that challenge has really taken me to reach goals that I actually never imagined myself reaching.
Knowing where you are right now, what has been the thing that's most surprised you about your professional journey?
Oh, that's a good one. What has surprised me? Well, you know what? I think what surprised me is just the amount of energy and perseverance that I possessed. And I know that may sound a little off, but really and truly, I mean, I knew that I was a hard worker. I knew that when I really had a goal that I had set for myself, I would go for it. But some of these challenges, like we talked about, you know, the book and then creating the mentoring program, I never imagined myself creating a membership program. You know, that was something that other people knew how to do. I never imagined myself putting websites together. I never really imagined myself doing much of what I've done. So I think I have really kind of shocked myself a little bit in the goals that I've set for myself and then just how I have either met or maybe even exceeded some of these goals in a fairly short period of time.
Yeah, it makes me think of this phrase, and I'll probably butcher it right now, but so, you know, it's this idea that so much of growth exists right at the edge of between comfort and discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's where you pushed yourself, you know, with this book and the mentoring and some of these things that you're doing.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree.
Cool. You know, one of the things that I also wanted to talk to you about was you've built quite a successful private practice now down in Georgia. And I wanted you to kind of start out and just take us to that moment where you decided to make that leap into private practice.
Okay. That journey all started kind of, again, from that push, that edge where I was working for the state as a licensed therapist. And I was pretty comfortable doing that, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think comfortable is the key word in this because mm-hmm. I was very comfortable. Everything was known. You know, I knew what clients needed. I knew where I had to go in order to meet their needs. I knew how to meet their need. I knew the people in the community. I knew I was going to get paid every 2 weeks. And I was just rocking and rolling until the environment started to get a little volatile, if you will, and unpredictable. And that started making me say, okay, please don't let any major things change because I'm really comfortable right now. Mm. I really like where everything is. But, you know, change, and I will probably butcher this, but I think it goes something like, you know, change is the only constant. And so things did change in that work environment. And eventually it got to the point I kind of, you know, wrote it out. I may have been a little bit in denial and a little bit not wanting to move, but I wrote it out for maybe a year or more. Mm. And I literally can remember driving home one day and saying, that's it. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, and you reached that breaking point in a way.
I really had. And that was the time where I started to seriously think, okay, I have to do something different. Mm. And that caused me to, again, plan, how can I get around it, over it, under it, or through it? And I said, I'm going to have to work for myself. Mm. I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to have to do this so that whatever I do aligns with the vision and the ethics that I have. And I think I'm just going to have to create my own. Mm. So that's kind of how the first, I guess that was the first move in me creating my own private practice. And then after that, I actually worked with a colleague of mine. I did not quit that day that I thought I can't do this anymore. I didn't just leave. I did have bills to pay.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I had responsibilities. So right. But that was the time that I connected with a colleague and started working in her private practice just to get a better understanding of how private practice runs and some of the responsibilities. And over time, built to a point where I was maxed out at her practice, although I was not seeing a lot of people a week because I still had a full-time job. Right. And when I got to a place where I had enough money that I could actually get my own practice, then that's what I did. Hmm. And it started from there.
That's really
that was
neat.
2010. And I just kept on going from there.
Hmm. When you made that transition from, you know, working for the group practice to your own, what would you say is the biggest obstacle that you faced?
Probably, I think the biggest challenge was whether or not, I knew the area enough because it turns out I not. So mm-hmm.
Like the geographic area or the mm-hmm. specialty?
No, the geographic area, mm-hmm. that particular location, I really didn't do any research into that community. Mm-hmm. Had I done just a little bit of research, I would have found out that community happen to be extremely saturated with many different types of mental health professionals who are already established there. I just like the area. I lived in the area, and that was really my only two things for picking a practice there, which don't do that. But, you know, and what I found was that I did not have the connections or the finances to break into that market, because it's not to say that you can't get into a saturated market. It's just that you have to have some type of strategy, and I did not have any. So I was not getting many calls at all in that location.
Right. Because you, there was, I guess, in a way, with all these established therapists, there wasn't anything about your private practice that was motivating people to call.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think what I hear you saying is, if you could sort of give this one advice, would be to really research the geographic area that you're thinking about starting a private practice in.
I would definitely suggest that. Take a look at, you know, who's in the area and what do they specialize in, and what are you going to need, whether it be actual networking connections or whether it be marketing money to really break into that particular area and stand out in some way, especially if it's really, really saturated.
How did you actually go about doing that? Like, did you look for folks like on Psychology Today by zip code, or how did you actually figure out, you know, who was there and how saturated and who was doing what specialty?
I did. Yeah. I actually used Google search, and then I also used Psychology Today. And because I was close by two well-known hospitals in the area, I also just noticed going into the hospital buildings or some of the surrounding buildings, there were just a lot of people's names. Their plaques were on the doors. Like when you go into a hospital and you're looking for your doctor.
Right.
And I noticed there were a lot of psychologists already. I saw a few social workers. So there were probably about three different ways that I found out that it was a heavily saturated area.
Yeah, that's cool. I like you actually didn't rely on one source. You know, it wasn't just online. You actually went to the hospital and figured it out.
I just kind of looking around. Like I said, I did know a little bit about the area. I lived there and actually had noticed once I was focused on building my practice, I paid more attention to things. And I did have a particular doctor that was located in a building. And I noticed, oh, there's some psychiatrists and psychologists in this building as well, you know, and I never really paid attention before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how we like figure out stuff when we're looking for it. Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I had a couple of more questions for you. One of them was, you know, just thinking about your journey, your private practice journey these past few years, what would you say has been the most rewarding thing about it?
I would probably say, as far as my private practice goes, the most rewarding is always, rewarding and I'll say humbling. The first thing is when clients come back, they almost see me as their family therapist, if you will, or their therapist, that they would even trust that when things are getting a little rocky in their life, that they'll come back. And I've had a couple of people come back 3 years, 2 years, 5 years.
Wow.
I was not even in that location. And I had to ask the person, how did you find me?
Right.
You know, that is humbling that you would actually seek me out years later after we have already ended, you know, I guess our time together working on one situation in your life. And when another one arises, that you would seek me out. And then the next thing, I think, the biggest thing that the next biggest thing that I would say has been really great is just the growth that I have seen in the practice. The growth in the amount of people that we have been able to help. We have really increased the number of people that we have been able to help in the community, whether it be by word of mouth, them referring their family members, coworkers, spouses to also come and seek help and support, or even the amount of trust that we've been able to build amongst other referral sources in the community. It's a really good feeling to have people trust that they can receive the help that they need from you, and that it feels as though more and more people are open to receiving that help.
Yeah. I mean, just the way you phrased it, like you become a part of their family. That's such a powerful, it's just a powerful image.
Yeah.
Yeah. How, you know, speaking of that, how did you, what do you think it is that has led, you know, for you to be able to get these referrals? Is it something that you're doing in session or kind of more of the marketing end or a little bit of both?
I would say that it's definitely a bit of both. So, you know, reaching out, being a helper, not just a taker, or I say a giver, not just a taker. So I will create things for the purpose of giving to my referral sources to kind of, in a way, help them out in their jobs. So if I know that, for example, a physician, or if I know of a colleague who works in other areas, I may give them tidbits on things that we do or signs to look out for if it's a school counselor. So just kind of building those genuine relationships by being somebody who's helpful, who wants to provide resources, I notice has really greatly helped. And then I will say the other thing for our particular practice is insurance has also been one of our referral sources, because we accept insurance. So that's also how we have gotten people. And then, yes, marketing, you know, just putting our name out there, our image out there, what we stand for and who we help.
With the resources and things that you're giving out in the community, I mean, I like that because one, it's almost in a subtle way, it's establishing trust and credibility. Mm-hmm. On those handouts, do you put like, this is the best way to contact Camille, or how do you generally, do you do things like that or?
Oh yes. And okay. I'll do it for the whole practice, but, essentially it'll let them know how they can reach us, whether it be by email or by telephone or even website. So I'll have all of that on the pamphlet or the flyer that we give to them.
Yeah, no, it's good because in a way you're providing something that's helpful, like you said. And then if people want to know more, if they need additional help, then you're giving them the resource, which is your practice.
Right, exactly.
I had just a couple of more questions for you before we go to the hot couch round. I know you're looking forward to that.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel almost like on one of those shows, like I wanna get it all right, but you know.
I'll go easy on you, don't worry.
Okay.
You know, one of the things I just explored your website and just getting ready for our conversation, and one of the areas I noticed that you guys focus also just on general counseling, but also counseling from a Christian perspective. And I think one of the questions that I wanted to ask is how has specializing and saying that you have a Christian focus with some of your counseling, how has that impacted the referrals that you guys are getting?
Well, that's actually a really good question, because I know that sometimes that may cause people to say, well, I don't want to put that out there because I don't want it to cause anyone to feel as though they can't come. But I will tell you, honestly, there are a lot of people who still come. I think that oftentimes even they will look beyond you just saying, you know, we will provide counseling from a Christian perspective to the type of clinical experience and just experience in general that they receive when they come to your practice. So I've had, because we do a 15-minute consultation that we offer for free, and I've had people who've asked, you know, well, what does that really mean? You know, what do you do with us in the counseling session? And so I explained to them clearly that, first of all, we have clients of all walks of faith or no faith at all. We have people who come, and for those who want specifically someone who aligns with their own faith base, then we allow the client to guide us. So some people may want a prayer. Some people just want to know that you have the same faith as them, so when they share certain things, they feel as though they're going to be better understood. You know, that happens in many other areas as well, but we've not seen a negative impact by putting that out there. And I think, honestly, it's not fair to not put that out there if that's part of what you do, because, you know, people need to be informed so that they can make a decision one way or another. For somebody who once called and did a consultation and asked about that, one of the things I said is, even if somebody is not a Christian, many of our clients can agree that incorporating peace and love and kindness and self-control, you know, gentleness and love into what we do is a positive thing. Hmm. But those are actually the fruits of the spirit. So, you know, there's a lot of crossover, you know, with what we do and how we can impact people, whether it be Christian focused or not.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing I hear you say is that it's actually served to be, if anything, a conversation starter as opposed to something that ends a conversation.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I am actually still surprised at the amount of people who they don't even look at the website, or they look at the website and because of the skill set, they actually seem to overlook the other piece. So, you know,
that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I can just throw this one out there, not to take up too much time, but I will say that I think for me also, and this is just feedback that I've gotten from clients, the fact that we have a video that kind of explains a little bit of what they can expect, that seems to has helped some people. Some people it didn't matter, but we did get enough people mentioning that they had watched the video before making a decision. So
that's really, you totally read my mind because that was my next question. So that was my exact question because I noticed you had a video and I noticed that, you know, like it was right above an opt-in form to sign up for y'all's newsletter. So so I think you just answered it. Seems like having that video there has made a positive impact.
Yes. Yes, okay. I think it has. I think in the technology age and the age that we're in, where people want to be connected, people want to actually know more, have more information now before they sign up for things. You know, not as many are just going by what you tell them. So if you say, you know, we're great and, you know, you need to come into our counseling practice, that's not enough. They kind of want to make a connection with you. They want to know more about you. And if they can see and hear you, that gives them just another comfort level.
Yeah, right. As opposed to just texts on another website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, it's such a great idea. And the video is so well done. Everyone, you should definitely check out this video. It's really well done.
Thank you.
Okay. So we are at the point. Camille, are you ready for the hot couch round?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Awesome. So I've got just a series of questions that I wanted to ask you. We'll start out with this one. What's a daily habit that you believe contributes to your success?
I wake up very early, ready to go. And I maximize the time that I have during the day by doing every day something towards my practice.
What's an online resource that's been invaluable to your private practice?
Probably having a website and my Facebook presence. Those, and Psychology Today, those three.
Okay. What's your favorite business-related book?
Let's see. Right now, one of my business-related books is actually a book just literally called Marketing. It's for graduate students, and so I've kind of been nerding out on that. But let's see, Ryan Dice or Deese, I don't want to mess up his name, but he has The Invisible Selling Machine. And that's also been something that I've been reading lately.
Okay, cool. What is one tip that you would give to someone who's thinking about starting a private practice?
To definitely get informed before they start their practice about what are the emotional investments associated with it, financial investments and time investments based on the community that they live in and what it would actually take for them to, as far as how long would it take for them to actually get the type of income coming into their practice. And I guess when I say that, how long would they be able to hold out in case there was a slower startup versus a faster startup, just to be well informed.
And then your last question is, imagine that you were starting your private practice all over again. You have $500 and your laptop. What's the first step that you would take toward building your practice?
I would get consultation. I would invest part of that 500, not the whole thing, but I would definitely invest part of that in getting some consultation on business building, or take a course on business building, which would include networking and marketing, so that I would be fully equipped on what to expect going into this. That is the first thing I would do before I ever tried to open up doors.
Awesome. I love those answers, Camille. And you are off the hot couch.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Camille, tell us about the best ways to reach you in case, you know, we want to reach out to you. And
oh, most definitely. The best way is actually you can go to my website, CamilleMcDaniel.com. And that actually will allow you to reach either side of my practice, whether you want to actually have more information on my counseling practice, which is called Healing Psychotherapy Practices of Georgia, or if you are interested in the counselor entrepreneur, which is a side of my business for helping professionals, mental health professionals who are trying to build their business, you can reach either website by just going to CamilleMcDaniel.com.
Awesome. And I will link to everything you mentioned, including those websites, on the show notes. Camille, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this.
Sure. Thank you, Melvin, for having me. This actually has been really fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I really enjoyed it as well. All right, everyone. Thank you. And until next time. Okay, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Camille McDaniel. That was such a fun conversation. When I was just thinking about some of the things that Camille talked about, there were two things that I was taking away. One is the importance of doing your research before you start your private practice, especially when trying to figure out both the location as well as a specialty that you want to go into. So you really want to make sure that the location that you're thinking about, the physical location, is not oversaturated already. And the other thing that really stood out to me that Camille said was that you have to do some things on your website that are kind of unique. So I'm a big proponent of video. You know, even the research says that we tend to pay more attention to things that are more visual, and video is something that is very visual, and it's a great idea to have some kind of an intro video on your website. And I've got some stuff on the resources page in terms of things that I recommend to make some great videos. So you can find that on the website at sellingthecouch.com/resources, and there's a video section. You can also find show notes to this episode at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 2. And starting in this episode, both for Camille's interview as well as the 2 previous interviews, I'm actually have full transcripts for the entire episode. So I've got show notes which mention the resources and kind of bullet points, but then I also have full transcripts. So if you want to print it out, and then just to make notes on some of the things that the guest has said. Thank you, everyone, for being such a loyal listener, and thank you all for the amazing feedback. And if you could, just do me a huge favor. If you could subscribe to this podcast, rate it, and give it a nice review. And you can figure out how to do that all on the Selling the Couch website under the podcast tab. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops, or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy. and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcastingworkshop.